When you have questions about guns, the shooting sports, or your rights, where do you turn? Do what the pros do. When they have questions, they go to Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. Tom hosts several programs on the Outdoor Channel, is a noted book author and magazine editor, and he hosts the first and only national talk radio show pertaining to these issues. You can participate by calling 1-800-TALK-GUNS and join us in the chat room at guntalk.com. Now, prepare yourself for a no-nonsense, straightforward approach to firearms and related topics. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk.
You're listening to Full Auto Talk Radio with Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, brought to you by the Outdoor Channel.
Oh man, we're having some fun today. Welcome back, Tom Gresham. The show is called Gun Talk, and we're talking with a good friend of ours, Doug Ritter, and what we're talking about is basically the opening of a new front in the gun control battle. Believe it or not, this one has to do with knives. And I know there are a lot of people who own guns. I know there are a whole lot more people who don't own guns. But I got to tell you, I bet you there's almost no one who does not own a knife. Well, every kitchen's got a knife at the very least, even if you don't carry a knife, although I can't imagine why you wouldn't carry a knife. And here we have an article in the Wall Street Journal this week. It is absolutely a clone of all these articles we've seen about guns. Oh, you have evil Saturday Night Specials. You have evil assault rifles. You have evil junk guns. You have evil 50 caliber rifles. Whatever it is, they can come up with a bad name for it and call it an evil sniper rifle. I think they could come up with an evil name for an ambulance. These guys are good at this. And here's this article in the Wall Street Journal about knives. And he says, oh man, these are easily concealable and they're deadly, and some of them even have blades that lock. Well, yeah, that keeps you from hurting yourself when you're cutting things. It's kind of like the whole idea of, it's like having a sheath knife, a long fixed blade knife that you can fold for convenience, and then it comes back out and it locks up, and now all it is a fixed blade knife again. Doug Ritter, hey Doug, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to get the word out here.
Well, you went out and you're the guy that basically says, I will not stand for this. And I watched you do that on the personal locator beacons and spent a lot of money, raised money to basically save a lot of people's lives. We're talking about essentially like an emergency locator transmitter. And Doug figured out there was a problem out there, and he went and fixed it and got lots of money and fixed it. Not lots of your money. You rounded it up and made it happen. And here we've got this knife thing, and so you went out and formed a new knife owners group.
Yep. You got to take the bull by the horn sometimes and just do it. If you don't, you lose by default, and I hate losing.
Yeah, just hate losing. Okay, the new knife group, United States Knife and Tool Association, and at this point you're not looking for money, right?
So at this point, we're looking for support. We're looking to know that there are actually enough people out there who understand the far-reaching consequences of this sort of attack who will join us. And, you know, I don't know whether it'll be $20 a year or $25 a year or whatever it'll be, but it does take money to fight these things. Mm-hmm. And once we've got the interest and know we've got some support, you know, we'll email back everyone and we'll have put in place a proper organization that people can have confidence in and that will serve the knife owners in much the same way that the NRA serves gun owners.
Okay, sounds like a plan. USKTA.org is the website, USKTA.org. Let's go to the phones here. Pick up line four. Steve's with us out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Steve.
Hello, Tom. I enjoy your show. And I was just kind of wondering, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you. Go ahead.
I was just kind of wondering, if we let them get away with this, how long will it be before we have to have a specialized license to make a salad in our own kitchen?
Well, I tell you, they may say, you can't have one of those salad shooters because it has the word shooter in it, you know.
Yeah, well, think about it, just about anything can be used as a weapon.
Well, you know, and that's it, and when you really get down to it, and this is one of the things that I know that Doug is very good at. He understands media, and I hear a great many gun owners putting out these arguments that are just lame. I mean, it's the only thing you can say. They say, well, you know, that's what they did in Germany. And they come up with stuff, and you got to understand, you can't address the logic of it because there is no logic to it. This is a media game. This is a battle for public perception, and that's how that thing is fought. So, Steve, I think you're right on the money. You can't let this thing go on because they'll come after everything. But you got to use good. And I appreciate your call. Thank you, sir. You got to use good arguments. Hey, Doug, I understand you're getting some signups.
Yes, I am. My email is bouncing off the wall as it is. If everyone who listens to this radio program would sign up and would get a friend to sign up, we would have enough people to make these guys think twice. Right now, we're easy pickings. They look at knife owners, they don't see an NRA, they don't see an organization, and they figure, this is easy pickings. We can go out, we can pass these regulations, we can restrict this ownership, and there's nobody out there to fight us.
Well, there is now. There's the USKTA, the United States Knife and Tool Association. Now, let me explain, and we talked about this before. There is a knife industry association, but it represents manufacturers.
That's exactly right. And the AKTI, the American Knife and Tool Institute, has done a really good job up till now dealing with legislative issues at a state and local level, educating legislatures, trying to get them turned around when someone comes in with some of these crazy ideas. But just like in the gun industry, where we have the National Shooting Sports Foundation that's primarily oriented towards the industry side and the NRA, which is primarily oriented towards the gun owner side, mm-hmm. we need that same thing in the knife business. We need the AKTI, which is oriented towards industry.
That's the industry side.
And we need someone to stand up for the owners who can develop the numbers, the clout, the votes that politicians understand.
That's the language that they understand. Hey, hold on just a second here, Doug. We'll come right back. Our number is 866-TALK-GUNS. We've got a couple of calls. We've got a line open for you. So guarantee you call us, we'll get you in. 866-TALK-GUNS. Talk guns, and I'm going to tell you just a little bit more about the cutting edge of the knife banning business.
A revolution usually starts with a gun. This time, it starts with a scope. Simmons is proud to introduce the all-new Simmons Master Series, a revolutionary breakthrough in rifle scope design. Featuring the only true one-piece main tube on the market, the new Simmons Master Series uses the patented True Zero Flex Erector System, an energy-absorbing design that virtually eliminates the effects of recoil. Completely sealed against water intrusion, the new True Zero windage and elevation dials deliver precise and audible clicks, ensuring dial settings that can be repeated time after time. The QTA Quick Target Acquisition eyepiece features a dramatically expanded eye box, providing up to 4 inches of eye relief. Learn more about the revolutionary product innovations of the Simmons Master Series at SimmonsOptics.com. Mount the all-new Simmons Master Series and see what our engineering can do for your shooting performance.
Someone once compared sporting plays to playing golf with a shotgun. When was the last time golf was this exciting? Every station offers a different challenge, but they all have one thing in common. The action is fast, and you have to earn every broken target. Not what you expected? Then give shooting a try.
Find out how, where to get started, and much more at huntandshoot.org.
If you like fine pistols, Kimber has three new 45s for concealed carry. They're called the CDP series. CDP stands for Custom Defense Package. Made in the Kimber Custom Shop, CDP pistols have features like rounded and melted corners, tritium night sights, checkered front strap, ambidextrous thumb safety, all at a savings of over $500 what these upgrades would cost if added separately. CDP pistols also have lightweight aluminum frames, stainless steel slides, match-grade bushingless barrels, high-ride beaver tail grip safety, and beveled magazine wells. The list goes on. To learn more, or to locate the nearest Kimber dealer, visit the Kimber website at KimberAmerica.com or call toll-free at 1-800-880-2418. Information will be sent absolutely free. That's KimberAmerica.com, 1-800-880-2418.
Do
You know, I've always liked aperture or peep sights on my rifles. Long ago, I'd remove the insert from the peep on my lever action, throw it away, and use the big hole for super fast shooting. Now, the folks at XS Sights make Ghost Ring sights that are even better than the ones I used. They're lightning fast, accurate, and they let you keep the trim lines of your lever action hunting rifle. I'm a believer. Now, if you hunt with a scope or use a bolt action, XS Sights has a Ghost Ring backup sight for you too. If your scope gets damaged, just pop it off and put on XS Sights Ghost Ring backup. It takes only a minute, and you're still hunting with an exceptional sight. You put a lot into each hunt, and it's only smart to have a backup for that all-important sighting system. The Ghost Ring backup works on most scope mounts, and it can save your hunt. Check it out at XSSights.com. That's XSSights.com or call 888-744-4880 and tell them Tom Gresham sent you. Hey, welcome back. Gun Talk right here. Tom Gresham. Our number is 866-TALK-GUNS. We're talking with Doug Ritter, who's just formed a brand new organization, and he's looking for some support basically to, I know this is going to sound silly if you're a Gun Talk listener. You're thinking, what are they talking about? Well, this new effort to ban knives and regulate knives is simply a new front on the gun control frontier. And I really and truly do believe that. Let me pick up some calls here. Line 3, Larry's with us out of Portland. Hey, Larry, you're on Gun Talk.
Hi. Let me tell you one thing about the Metro knife that they reviewed there with the, I think it was an inch and an eighth blade.
Right.
That's one thing. That's not a problem bringing that into a federal facility. Here's where I come from. I'm kind of jacked up about this whole thing. It's not the way I wanted to start my Sunday morning. But I work in Portland. I contract to the federal government guarding federal buildings in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And the story's got several sides to it, no pun intended. But one of the things is you can't bring, a knife greater than 2.5 inches into a federal facility.
Okay.
The knife they're talking about really has no relevance in discussion other than it's just a tool to put out there and show people, hey, this is a bad knife. For me, I can't bring to work my Benchmade. I've been bringing my Benchmade to work for about 4.5 years, AF-CK, which has got a 3.5-inch blade.
Mm-hmm.
I can't bring that knife to work because I'm entering a federal facility. They provided the firearm for me when I get to work. I've got 3,000 people in this building that are basically been disarmed by the federal government and made into victims. We're working in an area that is rife with crime. It's near a large mall near downtown Portland. We've had shootings in the park across the street this summer. I've had shootings on the street corner a number of years back. There's drug dealing going across the street. I've got ladies going home at night asking for escorts. And most of them don't at their own risk.
And they're telling you what? You can't have a knife because what? You're like hijacked the federal facility with a pocket knife?
Exactly. And here's the deal. Then I've got officers bringing a 2-inch Durka type dagger to work made by cold steel because it's under the 2-inch limit. The thing is useless for anything else other than stabbing people, but it's okay to bring it to a federal facility.
Yeah, you couldn't open a package with the darn thing.
Well, I couldn't cut my sandwich in half with it. My Benchmade I use for everything, and I hope I don't bother anybody by telling this, by making the correlation from cutting up brownies in the ends of office cigars to gutting out my elk. It's a utilitarian knife.
That's it. It's a tool.
I carry it in my right side pocket. Anybody makes a gun grab, I flip it out, and I'm going to be stabbing.
There
on
you
their hand, whatever.
Listen,
but I can't bring it in the federal facility now.
All right, Larry. Listen, I appreciate the call. I know we're all getting a little wound up here, and you know what? We should be. And we, to a certain extent, owe Doug Ritter our thanks. Doug, you saw this article, and a lot of people saw the article, but a lot of them shrugged and said, man, I can't believe that. That's just dumb. A lot of people just said, well, that's just stupid. But they didn't understand that this was a call to arms.
No. I think you have to, A, have been involved in the gun control fight for years,
mm-hmm.
to have recognized it. But also, being part of the media, I understand what the difference is between an article like this appearing in something like the Wall Street Journal and an article like this appearing in the Podunk Gazette.
Right.
It's a whole order of magnitude more critical. It just raises the standard. mistakes.
And we're already seeing the spinoff. This thing has been, you know, been picked up by other papers. I suspect, and you're the one who said this, that I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a piece about this, like this, on the Today Show. Can't you just see a, you know, Today Show type person doing this whole thing of, oh, these are terrible, I can't believe that. Next we'll see it on Oprah. Oh, there's a tactical knives. People are actually carrying pocket knives. And it just takes on a life of its own. And, I mean, we saw what happened with the whole bogus assault rifle deal.
It's exactly that all over again, but it's even easier for them than it is for the assault rifles, because up to this point, there's been nobody really out there to bring to bear the kind of clout that it takes to fight this.
The NRA
there's
type
no
clout.
Organized knife right. ownership.
Right, and that's what you're forming here.
That's what we're trying to do.
Or at least you're trying to do. You're trying to find out if anybody's interested, basically. Say, look, you know how I know what you're talking about. You're saying, basically, what you're doing is you're saying, am I the only one? Is there anybody else out here who feels the way I do?
Yes. Sometimes you wonder if your passions get ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certainly people in the industry who have suggested that knife owners are too apathetic. Until they see someone trying to pass a law, they're not going to do anything. But if we wait till then, if we wait until the battle is joined, we won't have the mass of forces in place to fight this. We have to start organizing now so that we're ready with the votes and the letters
yep.
and everything else.
Well, and let me be, I'll just own up right now. When you and I were talking earlier in the week, I'm thinking, and I told you, I said, I don't think knife owners will do this. I don't think knife owners will join. I don't think it's going to happen. And it seems to me I may already be proven wrong, because you're getting people to sign up already.
The sign-ups are coming in, and what's even more encouraging is we're offering people the opportunity to give us a name and a location. It's not required. You can be anonymous and just give us an email. But we're offering people the opportunity to give us a name and a location that we're going to publish on a web page and tell people, these people are signing up. Why don't you join these people? They're standing up to be counted. That's a tremendous feeling.
It is.
People care enough that they're willing to stand up and be counted.
All right, the website is uskta.org, uskta.org. Let's go to the phones here. Line 5, Bob's with us in Wasilla. Hello, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I've been wanting to call in quite a while and comment on this issue. I believe that the whole issue is a canard, that the gun and bullet manufacturers are created to, you know, make profits. And I believe you and other media types have bought into it,
yeah.
And it's just a big con game. And
Bob, you're on to me, man. This is the only way I can make a living, is to make up all this stuff and scare people. How in the world did you figure it out? That's good.
Well, I appreciate you letting me have a minute.
Okay. Well, everybody gets a minute at least. Line 4, Charlie Parrott. Hey, my friend Charlie down in Florida. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Tom. I agree 100% with what Doug's doing, and I appreciate his activism. I've been a little active on the gun control issue myself, as you know, and I'm on his website. I've already signed up there. I'm going to put a link on my site to his, and also I'm going to make up a page and the reason why people need to support Doug and his effort, because I think it's very important.
For those who don't know, Charlie has the very innovative. In fact, we were talking about right before the show, Jim and I were. He says, I got to call Charlie. I got to get one of those holsters. SmartCarry.com is the website for that very cool holster you have. That's great, Charlie. I appreciate you doing that. And, you know, you can always send Doug a note. He's got, you know, email links, and you guys should get to know each other because you have very similar interests.
I really appreciate it, Charlie. It's people like yourself passing on the word and encouraging others that will make the difference. The only way this is going to happen is if concerned people like you encourage their friends to do it, and we can get the kind of mass of folks that we need to make this a reality.
Hey, Doug, is it okay with you if other people just go ahead and put links on their websites to the U.S. Knife and Tool Association website?
Absolutely, absolutely. Please, anything we can do. This is, in the current vernacular, a viral marketing campaign. It's word of mouth, word of internet. The more links we get, the more attention we're going to get, the more people we're going to get, and it's all about the numbers.
Doug,
all about the numbers.
I'm hoping to get that page up later today, And I don't have your email address now, but my email address is smartcarry@univox.com or either smartcarry@smartcarry.com, and you can email me with yours, and I'll let you look at the page, any changes you think I ought to make, whatever.
Okay, that's great. There is actually a link on the U.S. KTA page where you can click on it and email me directly.
Okay, wonderful. I'm on your website right now. I'll look for it.
Okay.
Thanks for your work.
Thanks again,
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie's quite the activist and did an awful lot to help Florida. He also has one of the coolest concealed carry holsters you never didn't see, which is, of course, the whole point of the deal. If you haven't seen it, Doug, you got to take a look at that Smart Carry. It's a hoot and a half, man.
Yeah, I saw it when we were at SHOT Show last year.
Oh, that's right.
I was very impressed. Very impressed.
And for folks who are really into this, you could see Charlie, who's like an old scrawny, dried up Marine showing his underwear while he shows you how this thing. No, it's not that kind of thing at all, people, seriously. Charlie's a great guy. But he's the only guy I know who can carry a concealed 1911 in that thing. I don't know what the deal is there. Anyway, but I digress, as I often do. Doug, are you getting any traction with the knife makers themselves on this deal?
Actually, to this point, we haven't tried very hard.
Okay.
I expect that when they see people signing up, when they realize that this is actually going to happen, that I don't think there's any question that the knife industry will get behind it, just as the gun industry is a supporter of both the National Shooting Sports Foundation and the NRA. The two groups are complementary. Together, mm-hmm. they can accomplish a whole lot more than either group could accomplish alone.
Right.
So it's just a natural, and I think people like Les at Benchmade and Sal at Spyderco and all the other leaders of the knife industry, when they see, when it's proven to them that people do care, that they're willing to sign up for this thing,
mm-hmm.
I think they'll get right behind
it. Well, because
they understand that the way it works as well as anyone does.
Well, that's what we need to do right now. If you do care, if you recognize the importance of this, go to the website that Doug just set up, uskta.org, uskta.org, and sign up. Hey, Doug, you're doing great work. I thank you, my friend, and I appreciate you letting me get on board on this deal.
I really appreciate the exposure you've given us, and I encourage everybody, please sign up, and please get your friends to sign up, and God bless.
That'll work. Thanks a lot. 866 Talk Guns. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk. I'm Tom Gresham. My number is 866 Talk Guns. We're going to go open lines now. If there's something on your mind you want to talk about, we'll do that. We can certainly continue the conversation about this Wall Street Journal article about deadly tactical knives. You know, when you think about it, knife control started some years ago. There are thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of places in this country where you can't have a knife. Schools. Children can't. I mean, when I was growing up, every boy had a pocket knife. You were actually given a knife when you excelled in school. When you made good grades, the school would hand out pen knives, they call them, or pocket knives to the boys and something else to the girls. Now, a child is expelled, not just expelled, I mean, suspended or expelled for a year for having the smallest pocket knife, a butter knife, or in some cases, pointing a finger at somebody or a chicken finger at somebody and saying bang. But knife control is already underway, and I really think it is all a part of the same thing. Gun control, knife control, it's all a part of the same thing. So this article in the Wall Street Journal, I think, is huge, and I applaud Doug Ritter for forming this new group. He's trying to get people to at least indicate if they're interested, the U.S. Knife and Tool Association, uskta.org, uskta.org. I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones, where are we, guys? Line 5, Marty in Elkton, Oregon. Hey, Marty, how you doing?
Just fine, sir. I'm happy to get on your program because this is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. And some of the school districts out here in Oregon have gone way off the charts. What they've done is they have outlawed even replica swords and knives and stage plays. In other words, if you want to depict Julius Caesar getting stabbed, you cannot have a cardboard knife.
Well,
it's gotten that bad.
It's like the TSA out in Reno, and I shut them down on this, but you had TSA screeners.
Uh-huh.
After the NRA meetings were held out there, and people had a whole bunch of little lapel pins, and they looked like little Glocks for your lapel, that kind of thing, and they were saying, you can't take that on the plane because it looks like a gun. And said, what, no. What they're talking about is something that actually could be mistaken for a gun. No, that looks like a gun. It's like saying, well, okay, you can't carry a photograph of a gun because it looks like a gun. And then it's insane. The idea of not being able to have replica swords or knives in a stage play is insane.
Yeah, when we were kids, we used to make wooden swords and stuff and have mock fights, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
then,
yeah.
And, you know, I guess that would be outlawed too, you know?
Well, I would encourage you, if you would, if you get access to your computer, to go over to Doug's website and sign up. He needs
help. Yeah,
but
I just, you know, it gets totally ridiculous. It actually gets quite insane, you know?
It is all of that, and it's frustrating, and it's easy on the one hand to say, okay, we dismiss it. On the other hand, we know that this is real, because it's not like this is the first battle. We have been in this battle for a long time, but I think maybe this Wall Street Journal article this week is a wake-up call for a lot of folks. Hey, appreciate the call, Marty. Let's go talk to Paul, line 3 in Florida. Hello, Paul.
Hey, this is good old Paul. It occurred to me, I don't know too many amateur gunners, but I have known a lot of amateur knife makers.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe your friend ought to consider them as likely candidates before the major manufacturers, because they would be performing illegal acts by just putting together even an old flint.
You know,
knife. There
are a lot of people who, you know, and they may make a dozen knives a year just in their garage, or they've got the tools. They thought, this is cool. I know how to work with metal, and I make knives. And some of them are actually making things that are darn near works of art. They're so gorgeous.
Well, there's something about a law that cannot be enforced as just breeding disrespect to the law. And on people who make perhaps 6 knives a year, think of the prisoners who make shanks, about 6 a year. With all the restrictions on them,
yeah. They
manage still to produce those. So how effective on honest citizens, or rather on people already inclined to break the law, would such laws like this be?
Well, yeah, it's a good point. Listen, I appreciate the call, Paul. The thing to keep in mind on all of this, that the goal is not to make people safe. Let me repeat that. The goal here is not to make or keep people safe. The goal is to control people. And there are people who will say, well, you know, I mean, if we get a little safety out of that, if it's safer, you know, knives are... No. That's not what this is about. We already know, and everybody will admit, everybody on all sides, whether it's guns or knives, they'll say, look, yeah, we know we can't really make the criminals obey, but we think it's a really good idea. Now, wait a minute, back up. You know the crooks are going to keep being criminals, and they're going to keep hurting people. Therefore, you're saying, we know that the only people this will affect are law-abiding people who are no problem. Gun control, knife control, doesn't matter. The only people this will restrict are the law-abiding people who are no problem. So what's it all about? It's not about keeping people safe. I just got an email from a guy who's a district attorney. He says, well, you know, it does help keep you safe. No, it doesn't. It doesn't keep people safe. It makes people feel safer. As in so many of the things that have been done in the last 5 years. It makes people feel safer. It doesn't make them any safer. I think that article in the Wall Street Journal was Monday, but I'm not sure. It's either Monday or Tuesday it ran. Somebody might be able to check on that. Somebody who has Wall Street Journal online service and let us know. Line 4. T is with us in Kilgore, Texas. Hello, T.
Hey, Tom. Wanted to call your attention to something that the NRA is doing on a positive note. They are offering what they call a Legacy Life membership. Have you heard of that?
No, what is it?
Alright, it's for young Americans, and basically I think it's directed at a young member of your family. They will allow you to nominate them for a Legacy Life membership for $300. It can be awarded immediately or at a later date.
Really?
I think $300 for a life membership for a kid is great. We're not going to beat it because they went to the program where they had a two-payment thing where you had the life members for the kid, and then when they became 28 or 30 years old, they had to pay again to continue it. My understanding is this is a true lifetime of going back to $300.
$300 for a NRA life membership is a deal. That's a steal. And you know, anybody who's got youngsters in their family, whether it's immediate children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, may want to, or just somebody down the street. Not a bad idea. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. I was not aware of that, T. Listen, we got a quick run to a break here. When we come back, Chuck, you're going to be first up. We'll talk about that shotgun that you want to know about. We'll talk about knives, shotguns, handguns. It doesn't matter. We're open lines. We're having fun. It's Gun Talk. Our number is 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back.
Dear Loophole, growing up, my father hunted using a loophole equipped with a rifle. That's right, he felt the scope should be the hunter's first choice. If it didn't work, the rifle was useless. He's 79 now, still using the loophole he purchased years ago. Someday I'll own that fine scope. The loophole has lasted a lifetime, but the memories will last forever. Thanks, D.E. Poe, Alabama.
Loophole, the world's finest sports optics. Call 1-800-929-4949 for the loophole dealer nearest you.
The Constitution of the United States of America, conceived in history's greatest struggle for independence, is a living document that touches our lives every day. It is with us when we gather to worship and pray, when and where and how we choose, because that is our right, according to the Constitution. It is with us when we stand in judgment in a court of law. We do so before a jury of our peers, because that is our right, according to the Constitution. And it is with us when we use a personally owned firearm to protect our home, our property, and our family, because that is our right, according to the Constitution. The right to keep and bear arms is a right protected by the Second Amendment, a cornerstone of our Constitution's Bill of Rights, a right that millions of Americans have fought to protect through the unrelenting vigilance of the National Rifle Association. Catch the spirit of 1776. Call 1-800-652-2700 to find out how you can become a member of the National Rifle Association of America.
Contributions and payments to the NRA are not deductible as charitable deductions for federal income tax purposes.
Taurus Millennium pistols feature lightweight, ease of use, and reliability. Now add raw 45 caliber power to that with the incredible PT-145, a subcompact auto with a full 10-round magazine. The PT-145 has a manual safety, the Taurus security system, and a great price. Only 23 ounces, the polymer frame, double action, only PT-145 is the best value in a compact 45. And you can get it with night sights. Check out the PT-145 at TaurusUSA.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them, it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk, 866-TALK-GUNS, 866-TALK-GUNS. We're open lines, we'll talk about it. The only rule here is that we do ask that you keep it civil, and we already had one caller who disagreed, and he was civil, and I appreciated that, and so, you know, come on in. The water's fine, 866-TALK-GUNS. Line 3, Chuck is with us out of Portland, Oregon. Hello, Chuck. Did Chuck go bye-bye? I tell you what, let's try line 5. Steve's with us out of Virginia. Hello, Steve.
I got one comment and one question. My
sure.
comment is, you know, this whole thing with knives, it's really not about knives. It's about incrementalism. And certainly they're going to get people to start believing if you ban knives, then it only makes logical sense to ban guns. I mean, who wouldn't go along with that argument? So I think they're using the guise of outlawing knives to promote incrementalism on guns.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I just as you said that, I got an email that popped up, and a fellow says, I grew up hunting and trapping, and our families will and always will have guns. He says, why do you promote such ridiculous ideas? Please limit your show to talking about guns. Basically saying, you know, that this whole knife thing is bogus and why are we wasting time on it?
Right.
You know, I mean, because it's all connected. And the problem is if you have not been involved in the battle, and I mean not just paid attention to it, but been involved in the battle for 30 years, as I have, you don't recognize that an article in the Wall Street Journal is a clone of an article, you know, 10 years ago that was about guns, is a clone of an article in the London Times, is a clone of the articles that are running all over England about knife control. And you realize that these groups are all connected. Believe me, what's happening in Australia, what's happening in England, the Rebecca Peters group, the United Nations group trying to ban guns, they're all connected and they all talk. And they do have friends in the media who they can feed this stuff to. That, in my opinion, that's all this Wall Street Journal article was a plant by someone with an agenda.
I also had a question I wanted to ask you. I've got a Taurus Model 62,
mm-hmm.
and it's chambered for a 22 long rifle.
Okay.
And my question is, you know, there's other 22s out there that are chambered for long rifle that will accept 22 short, long, and long rifle interchangeably, but my Taurus won't. Can you tell me why? Because a 22 is a straight walled case.
Have you tried it?
No, but I just, no. No, I haven't.
I know they say not to, but my guess is, the issue is if you shoot a 20, of course, here, let me start from scratch. A 22 long rifle is, call it X, call it, you know, a unit of 10 inches long, for instance. It's 10 long. The long is shorter, and the short is even shorter than that. You could fire them in the same chamber because they all hit space on the rim. But when you fire shorts and longs in a long rifle, you end up with unburned and burned powder inside the chamber, where, of course, the case didn't stick out as far as a long rifle case would. So you're using a shorter case, so the powder burns, it blows out there, and instead of this stuff going out in the barrel, you crud up the chamber. Now, the next time you try to put a long rifle case in there, you got a cruddy chamber, it's all mucked up, and the long rifle, the longer case, won't chamber in there. It gets stuck. I'm guessing that the reason that Taurus said to shoot only long rifles in it is because by doing that, they'll prevent you from crudding up the chamber and then causing basically a service issue.
Okay, alrighty.
So, you know, here's the deal. If you choose to shoot shorts or longs in there, just be aware that not only do you need to clean the barrel, you're going to have to clean the chamber.
Okay, well, I like to clean things as little as possible. So I'll stick with the long rifle.
Okay, and the thing is, you know what, long rifle ammo is so darn cheap. Although ammo prices are going up, and listen, thank you for the call. I really appreciate that. Ammo prices are going up like crazy. It's kind of like being in the stock market or when gas prices are going up. Anybody that thinks they're going to need some ammo in the next year or two, boy, I would really heavily encourage you to go out and buy whatever ammo you're going to need, because I think we're going to see another 10 to 20% increase in ammo prices in the next 6 months. It's really quite amazing. Line 3, Joe's with us in Alaska. Hello, Joe, you're on Gun Talk.
Yeah, Tom, I'm calling because I'm trying to find a peep sight for a Mark III British 303 made in Australia. My eyesight's kind of going down the long road as I grow older, and I'm trying to find a peep sight for it.
Good gravy.
And people are trying to sell me everything under the sun, and it won't fit, and I don't want to modify the rifle.
Ooh, okay. I don't have a clue. Can I do this? Can you keep listening, and we will see if we can round you up some information? I'm sure there's somebody listening who can tell us where to go for that.
Okay, that sounds good. And I left my number with your call screener because yep. I live up near the Kinect Glacier, and I don't live near a phone.
Oh, okay, good deal. We've got the number there, and Amy's got that. Appreciate that. Thanks, Joe. I've been to the Kinect Glacier. Been up there. Our number here is 866-TALK-GUNS. Joe's looking for a peep sight for a British 303 made in Australia. If you can help him out or give him even a suggestion as to where to look, give us a holler. In the meantime, let's talk about guns and knives and some of the other fun stuff we like to have. 866-TALK-GUNS. It's 866-TALK-GUNS. Hey, don't go far. I'm Tom Gresham, and this is Gun Talk. You know, you really shouldn't be able to have as much fun as we have around here. This is a hoot. Got a call just a minute ago from Bob Morrison from Taurus. We're going to be getting him on here shortly. Yeah, he's listening to the show. And we get a call about a Taurus. He said, well, I know the answer to that. I'm the president of the company. So we're going to get Bob on here in just about 3 or 4 minutes, and we're going to bring him up, let him start answering some of this stuff. This will be a lot of fun. Line 4, Terry's with us out of Virginia. Hello, Terry, you're up.
Yeah, how you doing, Tom? I got a question on the new Smith & Wesson MT.
Oh, the MT. Uh-huh.
I don't know if they're is that a good gun. Is it comparable to the Glock? Or
what, have you been able to get your hands on one yet?
Yeah, I seen one at Gander Mountain.
What'd you think?
I like it. Feel good in my hand, but yeah. You know, I don't have a way of shooting one there.
Okay, well, here's
haven't had time to go to a.
Sure, I understand. I've shot them. I think they feel good. One of the things they have that's really a nice feature is they have interchangeable backs for the grip. So you can change the back side of the grip to fit your hand, and that's pretty clever. The 9mm has such low recoil, it was astounding. It's a very low recoiling gun. What we don't have, of course, is a track record. I think it's probably going to be a fine pistol. We don't have a track record with it. But at this point, I think I could probably recommend it. If you handled it, if you like the feel of it, I think it's going to be okay. One thing that's nice about all the gun companies now is they all stand behind them. If you have an issue with it, they'll make it right for you. But I like the M&P. I was favorably impressed with it. It's kind of like it looks a little bit Glockish. But you got to remember, the Glock's 25, 30 years old now. And so you've got a lot of guns that are very much improved over the original Glock design. And I think the M&P is one of those.
Right. I know they've done a lot of research on it. See, I'm left-handed also.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's got an ambidextrous safety on it or a magazine release.
Yeah,
too.
I think so. You know, I didn't shoot it a lot, so I didn't really pay attention to it. But I think so. Take another look at it, and I think if you want to pull the trigger on it, so to speak, I think you're going to like it. Listen, I got to run. We got them lined up. Thanks, Terry. Charles, line 5, Montana. Charles, you're up.
Yeah, how are you?
Good.
I was wondering, how are they actually going to regulate knives, and how are they planning on getting into the backdoor regulating guns? I'm not understanding how they're going to do that.
Sure, okay. What we're talking about is the article in the Wall Street Journal about knives and basically demonizing them and saying, gee, these things are unregulated. Well, how they regulate them is just what they've done in England. They say, you can't carry a pocket knife. It's real easy. They say, look, you don't have a good reason to carry a pocket knife. Those are deadly weapons, and it's illegal now for you to carry a pocket knife. Once you establish the criteria that says, we're not going to let you carry deadly things, we're not going to let you own deadly things, well, that becomes a gateway to say, well, look, we already did this in knives, and you all agreed that that was a good idea, and certainly you would agree that guns are even more deadly than knives, so it only makes sense to do that for guns. That's the way this kind of thing is done.
Ah, okay.
All right.
Well, I love your show, and I'm just now getting serious and I appreciate everything y'all are doing on this whole channel.
I appreciate it. All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, we're talking about, if you have any interest in this, go to the website, uskta.org. uskta.org. It's a place there where you can sign up. You don't have to send money or anything. Just say, look, yeah, I agree. I'll stand up. I'll be counted on this deal with the knives. Line 5, Mike's with us out of California. Mike, you're up. Well, he's gone. 3, sorry. I can't read anymore. Hey, line 3, it's Mike.
Hi, Tom. I've got one of the neatest knives I've ever owned. It's a Kershaw, and it's designed by Ken Onion,
mm-hmm.
and it's a self-assisted knife.
I'm familiar with it.
It's kind of like a switchblade.
Okay, but real quick, because we're going to run out of time.
People have asked me if that's legal out of state. Now, I bought it here in California, and it's legal.
Totally depends. It's a state-by-state thing, and you're going to need to, maybe there are some knife forums online, some places you can go to find out. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll try to get some more information about where you can get that kind of background, and I'll give it out. Keep listening. We'll have that information for you, and I appreciate it. Nice knife there, Mike. I like that. Our number, if you want to get in line, 866-TALK-GUNS. I'm Tom Gresham. Don't go far. We're still having fun.